I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The diamond industry stretches across the globe, from the mines in Central and Southern Africa to India's diamond polishing factories and the high-end dealers in Belgium. It's a mysterious industry that prizes secrecy. But one key player in that industry opened up to the world's Bradley Campbell. His name is John Hadelberg.
The best diamonds in the world contain mysteries. And years ago, John Hadelberg was unlocking the mystery of one of them. He stood in the outer vault of the Smithsonian with the curator of its gem and mineral collection. Both stared at the Hope Diamond, the largest blue diamond in the world. They took it off its display, and then they turned off the lights.
We took a shortwave illumination, a shortwave light.
A black light, and they aimed it at the diamond for about a minute. Then they shut the light off, leaving everything in the dark.
But what happened is the Hope Diamond, it turned red.
It glowed like a hot coal.
I wouldn't say satanic, but I guess I just did. I've never said that before.
The Smithsonian thinks that inside the Hope Diamond, at the atomic level, the ultraviolet light causes interactions among its elements, giving off the red phosphorescence. Hadelberg also offers a non-scientific reason for the glow.
The Hope Diamond is not only a 350-year-old cultural and historic icon, it's also possessed.
This is how Hadelberg really talks about gems. But don't get the wrong idea. This guy is at the top of his profession. He's considered one of the greatest legal counterfeiters of diamonds in the world. Some say the greatest.
People have said that I've held more famous diamonds than anybody in history.
Ever since people walked the earth, it seems like they've been attracted to diamonds. European and Asian kings wore them into battle to make them feel invincible. Diamonds are prized across cultures, from the Koh I-noor diamond at the Tower of London, to the Dresden Green Diamond in Germany, to the Golden Jubilee Diamond in Thailand.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate to tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
Diamonds are one of the hardest materials produced by our planet. The best ones, determined by carat cut, color, and clarity, can be extremely valuable. The Pink Star Diamond, they all have names like that, recently sold in Geneva for $83 million. Now it's called the Pink Dream. With that kind of value, diamonds need people like Hadelberg.
I protect diamonds. And people commission me to make a replica to protect their diamond, whether for insurance, security, display, promotion, historic documentation, education.
People have made copies for thousands of years, and one of the first people to commission a copy of the Hope Diamond was Napoleon III. Hadelberg's just continuing the craft. But what distinguishes him is the quality of his goods. He once put one of his replicas next to an original and had a room full of representatives from De Beers try to tell them apart. They couldn't. He's that good. Hadelberg lives directly across the street from the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. His apartment is a museum of its own. His artwork fills the place, from gem paintings to pearl-encrusted corn cobs. His dining room walls are gold-leafed. It's sensual.
I love paintings. I love paintings, I love gems, I love women, and I sometimes get them confused.
He works inside a tiny home studio, research books stacked like cairns on the floor. A photo gallery of his most famous diamond replicas stretches across one wall, and in the far corner is a baldacchino. It's a table of sorts more commonly used to display statues of the Virgin Mary. This is where he creates his replicas.
And my premise for all the gems that I get to work with is that I believe that they're primal, living, and seductive.
It takes months for Hadelberg to reverse engineer a diamond. He won't disclose what he makes the replicas out of. Let's just say the work is beyond intricate. He sits at his facet machine, his diamond cutter, matching every angle of every cut hour after hour.
I feel that I'm cutting the faces of the people that I know into the gem.
The Smithsonian is working with Heidelberg to create a new replica of the Hope Diamond. The museum says there's really no one else on the planet who's able to match its distinct color perfectly. And soon, I would see in person what that means. But while Heidelberg can talk on and on about his passion for diamonds, art, gems, and women, he gets tight-lipped about the world of demonteurs, or leaders of the diamond industry, the people he does business with. All he'd tell me is this. It's a small world, made up almost entirely of men. There's a lot of discretion. Heidelberg takes me to his vault at a secret location. Inside are Ziploc bags. Inside the bags are boxes. Inside the boxes are his most special gems.
Hey, let's go put on a show.
He wears cloth gloves to touch them. The first piece he pulls out is an exact replica of the Koh i Noor diamond.
So this is the diamond which at one point was valued at half the value of the known goods of the world.
He lays two more gems next to it, real ones, a blue topaz and a purple amethyst. All three sit together. They sparkle in the light. And as you stare at each one, you don't want to stop. All three are perfect to the eye. And the longer you look, the quicker you forget that one of them is a fake. For the world, I'm Bradley Campbell.